All right, I pray everyone had a wonderful afternoon and that we are thankful to be gathered again with God's people before him. Just what a great blessing this day has been, and hopefully we know that, we recognize that. And I've told a couple, I didn't have my coffee before the lesson, which normally I have too much. I didn't have any today. But I feel refreshed because at my brother-in-law's birthday party, I got to spend some time talking with Dan Winkler. I haven't had a chance to talk with him for a long time, and so I got to talk to him for seems like an hour, and just being around Dan always refreshes me. So I didn't need the coffee, but either way, it's good to be here. We're thankful that you're here, visitors among us. We're grateful that you've joined us, and we want you to know that you are wanted and that you are needed. Now, the lesson for this evening, and if you notice, for the most part, our evening lessons, I try to make them a little shorter. I try to make the PowerPoints, you know, a little more colorful, because I know we're kind of tired at the end of the day. And if you're in my Bible class on Sunday mornings, this will be your third time listening to me in one day, and so I try to, you know, shorten it up a little bit. But I've got a really straightforward, easy lesson for us, and we saw a portion of that, of course, in our scripture reading earlier. And so also I want to kind of as a side note here, I think this is a good example of how we ought to view our Bible in general, how we ought to study our Bible. Right, so Matthew chapter 2 is one of those places where it seems like maybe we might kind of sort of talk about it around Christmas, right? But there's so much more to that. And what I want you to see here is an example of how throughout Scripture, Old, New Testament, all of it, as you're reading it, you're being asked over and over. It doesn't matter what you're reading, right? If you're reading a historical narrative, prose, poetry, whatever, you're being asked continuously to consider who God is, to consider who Jesus is, to consider who the Holy Spirit is, right? That's, you're being asked to consider that constantly, and what's your response to God, to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, or sometimes all three portions of the Godhead. So what's your response? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with truth? Right? How are you going to respond? And many times we get examples of people responding properly. We also get many examples of people responding improperly. Right? And so there's lessons in there for us. And it's no different right here in Matthew chapter 2. So I picked this here because I wanted to show you or make you aware that you can go to any section of Scripture and you're being asked who God is and what kind of person are you and how are you going to respond to God. So we have that here, this example. So what is your view of all of this, right? Truth and life and Jesus. And of course, there's always been different kinds of people on the face of the earth. This is just the way it is, right? Just different kinds of people. And, you know, we're going to see different examples of how people responded to Jesus here. And so we're being asked here, I believe, as we're reading this, you know, which one of these people am I? Groups of people, even, you know, the Magi, the scribes and the Pharisees, Herod, you know, which one describes me concerning who Jesus is? Right? So God coming to this earth in the flesh, besides when Jesus dies on the cross, this is the most important event in human history. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with the a God in the flesh that we read about here? Right? And the question so relevant to you this very day, sitting in that pew here in Fairview, Tennessee, on this date and time. What are you going to do with Jesus? Which one of these people describe you? And I got thinking about it. Hopefully you can read that. Seek there. It looked great on my laptop, but then you throw in 25 meters from the projector there, but hopefully you can see that it says seek. Right, so seek, hate, or ignore. Which one describes you? And so in our text here, the first we see are truth seekers, right? The wise men, the magi, right? The wise who will seek and do the Father's will. Let's read it again, verses 1 and 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, remember, wisdom is the application of knowledge. So these individuals here, they received information, but they're wise enough to apply that information. And we call them wise men or magi. Right? They're wise here because they took that knowledge they had and they made proper application. Now, I want you to note here, we're just going to kind of hit some of the highlights because we read a little bit more about them down verses 11 and 12 especially. But I want you to think about the attributes of these wise men, these truth seekers. Right? They had an attitude of expectancy, which motivated them to seek the Christ. Now, Matthew, the whole book is about mainly to convince the Jewish mindset that Jesus is the Messiah. Right? Here's the evidence that he is the expectant one that the Old Testament is talking about. Right? That's all we get more Old Testament quotes in the book of Matthew than we do the other gospel accounts. Right? So this is evidence of who Jesus is. And they're like, hey, I'm going to seek that truth, therefore they're wise. Right? They followed the light that God gave them. They took time to seek the truth. They were intentional in their faith. Listen, they didn't accidentally find him. And a side note lesson for us today is, you're not going to accidentally find Jesus. You're not going to accidentally make it into heaven. You're not going to accidentally somehow occupy a pew a time or two or three a week and accidentally make it into heaven. We have to be intentional in this. Or we're going to fall into that third group we're going to look at. The informed, but the indifferent. In other words, ignore. Right? And here, these fellows, right, they're willing to inquire. Verse 2, they're willing to worship. If you drop down to verse 11, willing to worship Jesus. They brought gifts to Jesus in verse 11. Right? They listened to Scripture. They listened to the warnings of God here in verse 12. They feared God rather than men. You know, Herod here in verses 7 and 8, we're going to talk about him more in a moment. But Herod, when he secretly called the wise men, verse 7, he determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may go and worship him also. They knew better than that. And they didn't listen to the words of Herod. So in their example here, I need to ask myself, right, do I have these attitudes? What a great and powerful example. You know, we could even look at Mary and Joseph's example if we went back to chapter 1 here, especially verses 18 through 20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Right, so you have Mary was to believe that she was going to have a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit, not have known a man. And you read about that in Luke 1, verse 34. Joseph was to believe that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, right? So both of them, they trusted and they believed. Great, powerful examples here of the kind of individual God is calling me to be. Trust, believe, seek, worship. serve, all the right attitudes. All right, now we're going to read about a second kind of people here, or second kind of person, and that's those who hated Jesus. And that's those who hate the truth. And so here in verse 7 and 8 that I just read, you've got Herod, of course, right? Now, Herod was a very ungodly man. History tells us some things about Herod. He killed his own son. He killed his own wife. He killed his own uncle. He killed thousands of Jews. Right? He killed these babies here, right? If you look at 16 through 18, killed the baby boys in Bethlehem, right? He was a very bad man. I'm not telling you something you don't know, right? Now, he feared Jesus, but not the good kind of fear. Oh, a king, huh? Right, so he's thinking, it's going to be a rival to me, and I need to eliminate the competition. I'm telling the wise man, when you fight, I'll worship him, right? Just tell me where he's at. And, of course, we learn that that's a lie. And we could go through example after example. I threw a few up here for us to think about. Jeroboam there in 1 Kings 12. What does Jeroboam do? It looks righteous. It looks proper. But he creates his own altar, right? His own form of worship. I'm religious. I'm sincere. Right, remember, he changes the place of worship. Ahab, Jezebel, you go a little bit further in there. They hated the prophets Elijah. Right, sought to destroy God's prophets. And some of the most evil people you read of in your entire Bible. Right, they hated truth. Don't tell me the truth. Matter of fact, when they're being told the truth, it enraged them. Some people just absolutely hate Jesus. And they're going to hate you. And there's not really a whole lot you can do about it other than love them, pray for them, do good for them. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 12? What do you do for your enemies? Right? If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Right? And you overcome evil by doing that. Some people are just going to absolutely hate you, and there's nothing that you can do. And I have that name up there, Madeline O'Hare. So I want to just give an example outside the Bible. Some of the older folks probably have heard about her, but you haven't thought about her in a very long time. She started the American Atheists group or society or something like that. She's the one that sued and brought it to the Supreme Court to have the Bible taken out of schools, 1963. That's her. And she spent the next several decades in this raging, hateful rampage against anything to do with Christianity. And she brought her family into that, and as a matter of fact, might have been in the 80s, early 90s. So her daughter and granddaughter were atheist, and they were kidnapped by a fellow atheist and held a ransom, and he killed them. Right? That was how that ended. But just an example of, you're just going to get people out there that are very vocal, and they absolutely hate Christ, and they're going to hate you. That's an option. Right? We can seek. We can hate. Or number three here, I want you to consider, what kind of person are you now? Now, this one is an interesting one. This last group, this is the informed, I'd say, but the indifferent, or in other words, ignore Christ. Now, I believe that this group is those who maybe have never obeyed the gospel. Well, those who don't obey the gospel. That even might, they might believe in Jesus, but they never obey the gospel. And then another part of this group, I think, is those who have obeyed the gospel. But throughout the course of their faith, they never grew, they became stagnant, they died on the vine. and they just went on to ignore. And maybe just through habit, you might still see them every Sunday. But yet, they continuously ignore Christ and his teachings. Right? So people that have put on Christ to baptism, this could describe that individual. Right? But of course, it describes those who, you know, like Felix. Remember Felix? Real quick here in Acts 24, right? You know, a more convenient time, basically, right? Okay, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but just, you know, maybe a more convenient time, Paul. Or Agrippa in chapter 26 of Acts, right? You know, Paul, you almost persuaded me. More convenient time, almost. I believe in Jesus. I'm almost convinced. You know, I got more important things to do. So we have this interesting group here, and if you look at verses 4 through 6, which we had for a scripture reading earlier, I won't read it again, you've got the chief priests and the scribes, right? They knew what the Bible said concerning the Messiah. They knew where he was going to be born. They knew all about it. You know, when Jesus later began his ministry, they became his bitter enemies, right? They would not listen. Matter of fact, you remember when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead? They didn't say, wow, a notable miracle, let's follow him. They literally said this, we're not going to read it. Wow, a notable miracle, we need to kill this guy. It's better that this one man die than the whole nation die. They believed, or they knew. And just like in John chapter 9, the parents of the that blind man Jesus healed, they believed. Right? They didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. Right? So they ignore informed but indifferent. I threw a list there, church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, neither hot nor cold. The thorny ground there and the parable of the sower, right? The seed that fell. And got choked out by the cares and concerns of this world. The one talent man in Matthew 25. We know that one, the parable of the foolish virgins. Right? And so I think what falls under this also is the unprepared. That's why you always hear me talk about Matthew 24 and 25, right? Matthew 25 is giving us a window into what the day of judgment is going to look like, right? When Jesus is separating the goats and the sheep. But what led up to that, of course, is Jesus talking about when he's going to come back. No one knows but the Father. But the point is, he's saying, you just be prepared. You're not going to know when the Lord's going to return. Right? And then we get the three parables on preparation. Right, the faithful and evil servant, the wise and foolish virgins, and then the parable of the talents. It's all about preparation. You can say you believe in Jesus all day long and do nothing about it. You're going to be unprepared. You can just ignore. And the thing that also I'd like you to consider here, and we're going to offer the Lord's invitation in a moment, I bring it up all the time when I offer the Lord's invitation because I think it's that important. Right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. When Jesus is coming back in flaming fire, with his angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God, do not obey the gospel. Right? And so you're going to have those who know God and believe God on the day of judgment, but they're going to suffer the consequences of not obeying the gospel. They ignored it. You know, a more convenient time. You almost persuaded me, whatever. That's not what grandma and grandpa taught me, so I don't have to obey the God. I believe in God. God is love, and so I'm good, right? And they ignore the teachings. They ignore the truth, or even just ignore Christ. And so it ought to be our prayer that all people are truth seekers, because this day right here is coming. In Matthew 25, verse 31 here, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And so what I need to understand, and I need to ask myself, am I a truth seeker? Am I a hater of truth? Or am I informed but indifferent? And so it's my prayer that we are all truth seekers, because that day is absolutely coming. It's absolutely coming. You don't have a choice. The day of judgment is absolutely coming. Will you be prepared? Right? And the only way to be prepared is to seek Christ, seek his truth. Right? Search who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and what that means for you, and what his standards are for you to respond to that truth. Right? So that's what I'd like for you to consider here this evening. Now, as for the Lord's invitation, listen. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, that's where it begins. Right? Jesus is coming back. Take vengeance on those who know not God and do not obey the gospel. Again, you can know God, you can believe that he is the one, but then don't do anything about it, and you're not going to be prepared. Right? And don't obey the gospel if you haven't counted the cost and understood what's expected of you. And it's not easy. That's why a lot of people give up. Right? The parable of the sower, get choked out. You know, it sounded good when they're 13 at Bible camp. That's what everyone's doing. I'm going to get baptized. But they were never taught the cost. And when the cost does come, and it will come, it's so easy to fade away. All right, so make that decision. Count the cost. Obey the gospel for the right reasons. If you've done that, maybe fallen away. The good news is you can start over. Right now, this evening, you start over, and that's good news. So I encourage you to do that, or if you just need prayers, or just any help at all, just let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.